everybody. Of course, it's the Mad Hatter, and we're here today with the great Dr. Conti. She's in the building. Relationship. Can I say relationship? Would I be wrong to say expert?
No, you would not.
Author, speaker. Also, you know, you deal in domestic violence. Doctor, before we get into you got so much going on. I know you celebrate your 25 years of Fresh Spirit Wellness for Women. I want to get into that. But I want to go back a little bit real quick for people who may not know. Because I was trying to figure out why she's so passionate about domestic violence. And if I'm not mistaken, this is Domestic Violence
Awareness Month.
Awareness Month.
Yes, it is.
So I'm like, why is she so concerned about it? Why is this one of your top priorities? Why are you talking about this to people?
Well, that's a good question. And I get asked that question all the time because, Mad Hatter, I am a survivor.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I had no idea about domestic violence. I call myself the myth of domestic violence because everything that I thought about what domestic violence looked like, I didn't come from that.
And what was different about it?
Well, for me, I've always thought you had to have grown up seeing abuse, which I did not. Came from a good home. I thought, again, like you said, maybe grew up on the wrong side of the track, you know, out hanging out with the bad kids.
Wow. You know, so you had a whole visual of what domestic violence was.
And none of those things were me. And then I watched a lot of TV. And so you had to have black eyes and busted lip and, you know, broke nose. Mm-hmm. And it didn't start like that. And I never had a black eye. So I thought, okay, well, this can't be domestic violence. You know, he can't be abusive, you know. So I just didn't know. And so upon trying to leave, it got really ugly. My family had no clue as to what to do. We had not been privy to people threatening us and saying you can't leave.
Was it fear? Like, are you fearful of leaving, or are you and the family confused because we haven't seen this and we just don't know what to do with this new thing here?
All of it. I was petrified because by this time he had done some very horrible things, and so I was petrified. I didn't know what he would do. I didn't know, you know, he threatened to burn down my mom's house.
Oh,
I didn't know how far he would go. And
the things that he said he would do, you thought for sure he would.
Absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely.
I have to ask the dumb question.
Question's a dumb question.
Do you not see that this person has the ability to turn into a monster before it starts to happen?
Oh, good question. Absolutely not. And that is why, you know, Mad Hatter, we have, as an African-American people, the African-American woman is being killed at a rate 3 times higher than any other ethnicity.
Right.
Three times higher. Right. And so typically, for me, I was a Christian, and you hear all of the, you know, God doesn't like divorce and this, that, and the other. And even went to pastors and they said, oh, pray about it, work it out. But for me and for most people, it started out, I thought I was marrying my knight in shining armor before he turned out to be Nightmare on Elm Street.
right.
You know, so and that's what I tell women is to be, and men, because it's not just women, believe it or not. And I tell them to just really be patient and watch the action. Do they line up with the words? And some things that women think, oh, he just really loves me, are huge signs and red flags that this person has a possessive personality, which is one of the traits of an abuser. It's about power and control. And so I didn't realize that that's what, you know, you don't have to go to school with a full band scholarship. Mm-hmm. You're not going to need that. I'm going to take care of you. So I'm like, oh, wow, that's good. But again, those were signs that he was taking away my power so that he would have more control. And so a lot of things that I, of course, thought this is just a great man, I did not know. I thought I did all of the right things, met his parents. His parents had been married for many, many years. Later, I found out, you know, other things that had happened that he had seen abuse.
Oh, so this is a repeat offender, if you will. He saw, he also became. Mm-hmm. Wow. And you want to think that that stuff does not happen that way, but probably 9 times out of 10, you find that there's probably some abuse in even the abuser's past.
Definitely in the abuser's past, because it is a learned behavior. And I tell people it's easier for a addict who is addicted, and that's a disease, to recover from it than it is for an abuser or a narcissist. For one, an addict will admit, that's part of their recovery, is admitting, I'm an addict, you know. But an abuser never really admits that he has a problem. Matter of fact, he thinks you're the problem.
Wow.
So you can't fix a problem that you don't even admit you have.
When did you realize that, oh, man, I messed, not that I messed up, but it's time for me to move on?
Actually, it was it.
Or we was were, a series of events.
It was a series of events. Of course, you know, many abusers are very manipulative and convincing. Mm-hmm. It happened for this reason. It's not going to happen again. If you had not, it's you too. And let's work together and blah, 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 blah. So the first couple of times I'm thinking, that maybe something's going on with his work because he was in business for himself. So maybe something's going on at work, because it was just kind of out of the blue. And I was trying to make justification in my mind.
No, you were justifying whatever
why
he did
is this
because
behavior?
Why?
Yeah.
And you were okaying that behavior.
This was, well, not necessarily okaying it. It was not normal.
Right.
Because again, mind you, this is not, I tell people this. If you went on a date with somebody and they come and they pick you up and they open the door and they have flowers and you're sitting in the car and you get to the first red light and they haul off and push you or hit you or call you some kind of name, you would immediately jump out of the car.
Absolutely.
You'd be like, you lost your mind. You know, you're crazy, dude. You know, but it doesn't happen that way. So, you know, there have been trips. There have been gifts. There have been family events. My nieces and nephews loved him. He was the favorite uncle. So all of that happened prior to me seeing like, okay, this is not normal. You know, this is not healthy.
Now, how were you able, I don't really want to use the word escape, but it's the only word I can think of.
It is escape.
How were you able to finally escape the abuse?
Well, for me,
was it family, friends? Was it an organization?
Well, the reason I started my organization is because I really didn't get a lot of help with organizations.
Gotcha. Okay.
At the time, you know, and it's been many years ago, so it's different, but my passion for starting the organization was everybody wanted you to go into a shelter. Well, you know, you go into a shelter. Well, I didn't need a shelter, Manhattan. We stayed in a 3-story home. I grew up in a 5-bedroom home that my mom, you know, still had my childhood bedroom. My siblings had homes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't need shelter. I need somebody to tell me, how do you get away from somebody safely? How do you get a protective order? Right. What is a protective order, first of all? And how do you get him from, you know, following me? I need help. And so I finally met a woman that was a counselor, which is also what, you know, encouraged me to go into counseling. I met a woman that was a counselor, and she was very familiar with domestic violence. And she says, you're being abused. You're in a domestic abusive relationship. And I'm like, well, I've never had a black guy.
So you went through that whole thing again.
You know?
Right.
And so she was very helpful. And then, you know, speaking of drugs, I don't wish drugs on anybody. But he had ended up on some drugs. Mm. And it was because of that I believe he was not able to carry out many of his threats or follow me as much. But I still wouldn't trust it. I was afraid that one day he's just laying low and one day I'm going to step around the corner and he's going to make good on his threats. Mm. So actually, Matt Hatter, that's how I got to Houston. I left the city.
Once you left and finally were able to break free, did he ever try all the threats that he made? Did he ever try to do anything to you after you finally decided, I'm done, I'm gone? Did he try to seek you out? Did he try to hurt you? Did he do that?
He did what most abusers do. He wasn't able to find me, but he used family to try to contact me that I was still in touch with. Now I know I tell people, you know, cut off everything. And of course, he was manipulating them. And it's, you know, he's going to be better, or he wants to know if you're okay. He just wants to know if you're okay. He's sorry again. He's going to do better. You know, so those things. And that's the average woman goes back on 7 times. The average of 7 times. That could be 3 or 23. And guess what? I went back exactly 7.
Wow.
Exactly.
So you got 7. Away, went back.
Several times because he would say, I'll go get counseling. We can do this. We can do that. And he would get counseling maybe twice. Mm-hmm. Before you know it, we're in counseling and I'm in counseling and he's not showing up. Mm-hmm. But that is what ended up helping me, because the lady that we were both supposed to be going to is the one that finally enlightened me as to what's going on. And she said, he's not going to come. That was just a ploy to get you back.
So now when you have an opportunity to talk to people who get in these situations, and like you said, it's not just women, mm-hmm. probably obviously more, but men Absolutely. Get into it too. Give me three things that they need to do. Well, do they even notice that they're in an abusive situation? So how do you help somebody? Before I can even ask you about the three, how do you help someone that may not understand or even know that they need help immediately? Because it's not getting better.
Right.
But you can't tell them it's not getting better. It's like, hey, girl, the writing's on the wall. And you're like, oh, he's just, like you said, mm-hmm. you give them all these excuses mm-hmm. as to why these things are happening to you. Mm-hmm. So when you get in these situations, I guess once they awaken a little bit, what's some of the signs, I guess?
Well, one of the great tools is called the power to control will. And if anybody's listening, if you want to know or think you possibly could be with a narcissist or an abuser, look up the power to control will. And so one of the things is I use that and I ask, is this happening? Is this happening? I said, write down how many of these things are happening. And they would be like 20 of them.
Really? Like,
yeah.
Can you give me like three or four of the big ones? Like when you see this, there's probably a problem.
Yeah. Well, first of all, isolation. Don't want you to hang out with your friends as much. Mm-hmm. Don't want you to go to the family reunion as much. Don't want the family to come over as much. Don't want you talking on the phone as much. The control about how you wear your hair or your clothes or your money, your finances, their finances, being Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, mood swings, great one day and just me for no reason the next day, very accusatory, very derogatory comments toward you. A lot of times rushing into the relationship, for one, using manipulation tactics, using techniques to cause you to be fearful, mm-hmm. sitting guns out and saying certain things to you.
To allude to, I might use this.
Exactly.
Wow,
exactly.
Okay. So those are just a few.
Just a few.
Those few seem to be a lot. It seemed like the first one probably should have alerted that person. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that you used the word narcissist. Do you find that it's heavy on the narcissist side, the people who are inflicting that kind of pain?
Very much so.
Really?
Very much so.
But how do you detect that? Because it's hard to know, like, that person, like you say, you got into this relationship. This person was everything that you thought a man should be. And next thing you know, obviously, he probably turned. You can look back and say, oh, he was mm-hmm. a narcissist.
But also, I didn't know the signs.
Mm, gotcha.
Again, remember what I thought was the signs was he punched me in the eye.
And those things weren't happening.
Now, did he throw me down the stairs? Yes. Did he push me up against the wall and the picture frame fell down and the corner stabbed me in my head? A whole bunch of other things happened that I'm thinking he's having an anger fit or something because something obviously is wrong financially or at work. And it's, again, it is intentional. It is designed to intimidate you, to cause you to be fearful. It is not an anger management problem. I know people now have anger management problems, but they don't, do any of the things that, the abuser does. So it's about knowing really. And I think that's what happens with many women, in particular women of color and the African-American diaspora, is that we just don't know what the signs are. And we've seen some of this so many times. Like I said, I'm a myth. I'm the rarity. But most of the times you've seen it. So you actually think this is normal. You think this is okay. I'm just going to ignore him. No, that's not something to ignore. It is not acceptable.
So for the person in this situation, they can't reach out to anybody. They can't tell anybody. What can you tell them? All right, here are a couple of things you need to start doing or you need to start. So you, because now let's, I'm imagining you're in it now
mm-hmm.
and you need to get out.
Mm-hmm.
What's some of the steps that they need to take so they can start making this run for it, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, definitely tell somebody. A lot of times it's full of shame and, you know, you blame yourself. Nobody's going to understand. I'm going to look so crazy. Because matter of fact, you've built this relationship up to be so wonderful because you thought it was. Mm. So now how do I tell people this is not what I thought it was?
Right.
And so please don't be ashamed. Tell somebody. Start trying to put that money aside to move, which makes it very hard because a lot of times they control the money.
Right,
I actually had a woman that she was taking grocery money. And instead of, you know, the money that she got for groceries, she would, instead of buying the high dollar groceries, she would buy the off brands and not the name brands. And she would put a few dollars here, a few dollars there to prepare herself. Mm-hmm. Other things that women don't think about is you need to be getting duplicates and copies and originals of all of your children's stuff. If you have children, you leave, but then you can't get them registered in school because you left their school records or their shot records or their birth certificates.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a lot that goes into really planning. And so a lot of organizations, including ours, we do a strenuous safety plan with you to help you to leave to be safe. Even during the pandemic, the safety plan even changed because you were stuck in the house with him. So if he's gonna be abusive, don't be in the kitchen so you don't get your head slammed to the granite countertop.
I heard that during COVID too, that, you know, because everybody was in these close confines and you couldn't go anywhere. That and if it could be a myth and it might be wrong, but the numbers shot up.
The numbers shot up nationwide about 40%. Our organization grew 200%.
Wow.
200%.
Wow. That's crazy.
Crazy.
Hopefully people are seeing this. I definitely want them to be in a place where they can get help. Before I even get to asking you the details on how they can get information, though, I'm curious about men. Are men willing to come to you to say that, hey, I'm having a problem at home? Because I would suspect, just me talking to you, doctor, that most men are not willing, able, capable, or going to tell somebody that they are in a situation where they can't handle their business, so to speak.
Exactly. And we started a men's support group during COVID. It was our first time because we actually had more men stepping up saying, you know what, I've been listening to some of these things and I think I'm having an issue here. The problem with men that are being abused is they are the good men. They're the good guys.
Mm.
And a lot of times, if you're a woman and you don't know what good is and you haven't done the work yourself, then you're bringing all of those bad behaviors that you use with the abuser to the coping skills. And a lot of times you've learned to cuss them out or fight them back. And you're bringing that into a good relationship. With a healthy man. And then a healthy man is not trying to hit you.
Mm.
He's trying to show you I'm a good guy.
Right.
You ain't got to do that.
Right. It's not about that he doesn't have the brute force to take care
exactly.
of his body. I'm not going to hit you. So he's accepting all the stuff that he's.
Wow. Yes. And then it starts messing with his psyche because he's a man.
Right.
Come on. He's a man
Absolutely.
Now. And so he's like, okay, wait a minute. You know, so. You know, I've had men. I've tried. You know, I don't want to leave. I'm working, trying to work it out with my kids. But it's the same with men. We have had a situation where the family is actually our clients because the man is killed. She
wow.
killed him. We
wow.
helped them go through the court process, crime victims compensation, the counseling, the everything. But he had tried. She had shown. Many times that she was abusive. She had stabbed him before. She had did things in front of the family. He kept trying to work it out.
He just would not lose. He would not leave.
Well, he was trying to wait till his son graduated from high school.
Mm.
And so finally he said, I'm not going to do it. I cannot do it. I'm going to get a divorce. And we tell everybody, don't tell. Don't say when you're leaving. Don't say you're planning to leave. Because it's a trigger for them because then now they have to up that power and that control. And so he did, not knowing how to operate with a narcissist or an abuser. And so they were supposed to be going on a spring break trip the next day. And he was like, nope, I'm not going. You can take the kids if you want to the spring break trip, but I'm going to an attorney and file for divorce.
Oh, wow.
Well, she shot him in the head while he was asleep that night. And on top of that, she got the kids dressed, packed, and left. as if they were going on spring break. Still going
on the trip. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was heavy.
Yep. She did get time. She is in jail. And yeah.
You know, also what's sad about that, the tragedy of the children that are left to bear the heavy weight
yes.
of what they saw.
Yes.
They dealt with this abuser. They had this great parent. This parent's no longer with them. Now they got.
And they lose both parents.
Yeah. 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 What do? How can people get in contact with you? What's the number that they should reach out to if they find themselves in a terrible situation?
Yes. So our main office number is 713-588-4418. Our hotline resource number is 713-300-2493. 713-300-2473. I'm sorry. 713-300-2473. And then the main office is 713-588-4418. And they can always go to the website, www.freshspirit.org. Freshspirit.org.
Now, I know, I hate to say this, but I know everyone has social media as well. I don't know if you give information or you talk to yes. people on social media. Can you give them that as well?
Yes. My social media, all of my handles are Dr. Conti Terrell. And then we have a Fresh Spirit page, and it's Fresh Spirit Wellness on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay. And finally, I know that you have some stuff going on. Can you mention what that is that you're doing?
Well, we're excited because, believe it or not, we are celebrating 25 years.
Yes,
the organization turned 25 years old September the 21st of this year. And so we're celebrating 25 years and enjoying the ability to just thank some people, honor some people, and help other people to know who we are and what we're doing.
Okay. If they need that information, can I get it at the website?
Yes, they can.
All right. So tell them what that is again.
Yes, www.freshspirit.org. www.freshspirit.org. Look for the 25th anniversary celebration information.
All right, Dr. Conti, thank you so much. I'm hopeful that somebody will hear this, and this is what in every podcast that I do, I hope that somebody hears something that can help them, and that if they need help, they can go get assistance. So thank you again for your time.
And thank you so much for having me.